I'm excited this morning. I tell you, I'm excited this morning. And I want to share with you some reasons before we even get into the message why I'm excited. Number one, I'm excited because Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is alive. You know, Jesus Christ said this, and it's a verse in these days we all need to remember. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus Christ said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ says, be of good cheer. In these days, we need to be of good cheer, right? We don't need to be troubled. We don't need to fret. We don't need to worry. But we need to have confidence and be of good cheer because Jesus Christ said, I'm alive. I'm doing well. I'm on the throne. I'm still in control. I'm the Lord. And I've overcome the world. Number two, the church is alive. The church is alive. Sometimes it might not seem like it. But Jesus Christ also said this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. He said to Peter, he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And that's not speaking about Peter. That's speaking about the testimony of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again, and salvation is through faith in him. But he says, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And number thirdly, I'm excited because Jesus Christ said he's coming again. Amen? He's our hope. He's the living hope. And he says, even so, I come quickly. I come quickly. He is soon coming again. But you know, there's one more reason why I'm excited, and that's because the gospel is still alive and well. The gospel is still working. The gospel is still saving souls. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm glad because when folks get saved, Christ changes their life. He changes their eternity. And it just gives us evidence of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and still working and the gospel's still working. And there were folks saved last week. There were folks saved this week. And there's going to be folks saved in the weeks ahead. I'm also excited about our conference coming up next week, Sharing Our Faith. And we're going to have Sam Wilson here from International Board of Jewish Missions, and Dr. Ed Frampton will be coming in on Monday, and a couple of other men will be with us. And it's a conference that we're going to have from Sunday through Wednesday in the evenings and during the days. And then in the afternoons, we're going to go down into the streets of New London and share the gospel. And it's just to encourage you and to edify you and to equip you in sharing the gospel with neighbors and friends from all walks of life and all different people. And so I'm excited about that. You know, it's exciting. It's an exciting life to be sharing the gospel with others. I was fishing the other day, and I caught some fish, and that's exciting. What was even better, I didn't catch them on the hook. They took the bait, and so when I reeled them into land, they jumped off the hook by themselves and flopped back in the water. So I didn't have to mess with getting the hook out of their mouth. That's one of the worst things about fishing. But you know, it's exciting catching fish, but it's more exciting when someone trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's no joy like it apart from your own salvation. It's unique. The experiences are unique, and the joy is unique as well. But this morning, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. You know, many times as I read through the Bible, I get excited because the Bible is very direct, very, very frank and forthright and simple and direct. And in John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And there the first five verses speak about the person of Jesus Christ. which the Gospel of John is just going to open up about who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Creator, that he is God, that he is the Son of God, and that through him you can have eternal life. But then you look at verse number 6, and all of a sudden there's a statement that's made that just it just appears out of, well, it appears from God, but it's just like all of a sudden the statement appears. And what a statement it is. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, thank you that we can be here this morning to worship thee in spirit and truth. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Lord, encourage and strengthen our faith and just challenge us, Lord, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, when you read that statement in verse number 6, if you didn't have that phrase in the middle, sent from God, well, it would just be a mundane, ordinary statement. There was a man. Well, yeah, there's a lot of people in the world. Amen? There's a lot of people. Over the course of history, there's been, I don't know how many people, but it says there was a man. And then you look, it says, whose name was John? Well, there's nothing unique about that. I mean, his name was John. A lot of people named John as well. But the difference is right there in the middle. There was a man, his name is John, but it says this, there was a man sent from God. Boy, that all of a sudden sets John apart from everybody else. That sets John apart from a lot of different people. And I want us this morning, I want us to think of this man, John, and actually in verse number 6 and verse number 7, for it says the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, John was a prophet. He was a prophet from the first prophet to speak in over 400 years. And yet, when we look at the life of John, when we look at what the Bible says about John, there's some things, there's some parallel things, if you will, that we can learn from it that apply to our lives as Christians. There was a man sent from John whose name, or there was a man sent from John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You know, when you first think about John and you read about John, and we're going to start here just to get us on the same page. You know, there's one thing about John. His birth was unique. His birth was a miracle. Turn back to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells the account of the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth and his life and his ministry and his going to the cross of Calvary. But in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5, it tells about the birth of John the Baptist. And what a new, unique, a miraculous birth it was. I just want to read from verse number 5 down through verse number 16. There were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. You know, when you think of the birth of John the Baptist, What a unique, miraculous birth it was. It says his wife was barren. They're well stricken in years. They're up there in years. And yet God says, your prayer has been heard. Your wife's prayer has been heard. You're going to have a child. His name is John. His name's going to be John. And what a miraculous, unique birth it was. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor, how does that apply to me? My birth is nothing unique about my birth. In fact, I can't even remember it. And most of us, I don't think, can remember it. I think you'd be hard-pressed to remember what it was like the day you were born. I'm not speaking about your physical birth. I'm speaking about your spiritual birth. I'm speaking about being born again, because that's where it all starts. You know, in just a few chapters over in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, Jesus Christ said this. He said to Nicodemus — Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious man. He was a teacher. He had a good background, a good position, everything going for him. And then Jesus Christ said these words, John chapter 3 and verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You see, Nicodemus, I mean, he had religion, he had background, he had position, he had everything you might say that a person could want in this world. But Jesus Christ said, you're lacking one thing. You need one thing. You need to be born again. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that's the birth that I want to start off by speaking to this morning about. The one that parallels the birth of John the Baptist is the fact that we, through faith in Jesus Christ, have been born again. A supernatural birth, a unique birth, a miraculous birth. If you want to turn with me, turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, if you want to talk to someone about the Lord, hey, just start off this way and say, hey, can I tell you about my miraculous birth? How unique it was, how special it was, how amazing it was. And then tell them about your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, look what it says in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And right there, that verse is telling us about our new birth. It says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were alive physically. You were alive physically. You might be alive physically today, and I hope you are. But until you've been born again, you are dead spiritually. You have no life spiritually. You have no relationship with God. You're dead spiritually. But look what it says. You hath he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. Look what it says in verse number 2. We're in time past. He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You wonder why the world is such a mess? You wonder why the world is without hope? You wonder why the world is in such turmoil and angry and confused and without joy and peace? Well, read verses 1 down through verse number 3. They're without Christ. The Bible says when you're without Christ, you're without hope. But look at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's our birth. That tells us the miraculous birth that we had when we trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We were dead in our trespass and sin, but we've been quickened, we've made alive by the Spirit of God because we trusted in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's where we've been. When we parallel the life of John the Baptist, it starts with our spiritual birth. John had a unique birth. When they spoke about John, they would talk about his birth, how amazing it was. And that's what we have to talk about, how amazing our birth is, our spiritual birth, in and through Jesus Christ. But from that point, and here's where the message really begins, from that point, I want us to notice three things. If you turn back to John chapter 1, three things that we can glean from the life of John the Baptist that apply to our life. Now, I know we're not a prophet like John the Baptist was, but I'm saved through faith in Jesus Christ. I've experienced the new birth, and there's three things about the life of John the Baptist that, man, I apply to my life. You know what the first thing is this. Look what it says in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You know, the first thing we see about John the Baptist is that John the Baptist, just as you and I, he had purpose in his life. Everybody wants to know, hey, what purpose do I have? Well, this is the purpose that we have. This is the purpose. John said he was sent from God. Sent from God. You know, there's many times where I purpose in my life to do something. I purposed yesterday to go out and mow the lawn. So I said, here's my purpose. I'm going to mow the lawn. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get on my ride mower, and I'm going to start that thing up, and I'm going to drive around for a while, and I'm going to mow the lawn. And we can have daily purposes, but may we never forget or lose sight of the divine purpose of God for our lives as children of God. He had a divine purpose. He was sent from God. And if you go back to Luke chapter 1, and beginning at verse number 76, it speaks about his purpose. And this is our purpose. We have a purpose. You know, the Bible says we are sent as well. What did Jesus Christ say to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 15? He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look what was said of John the Baptist. Look at his purpose in verse number 76. And thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. You know, when we go with the gospel, and I'm just going to stop anywhere and everywhere in here and just speak. But when we go and tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, we should remember that we are speaking about the highest person there is. He is above all. God has given him a name which is above every other name. And we speak about Jesus Christ. There's no one like him. There's no one that can come close to him. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator, our Savior, the King, the Lord, the one who's coming again. And he says, thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest. Notice what it says in verse 77. Here's his purpose, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. He says, John, your purpose is to give people knowledge, give them understanding, to give them a knowledge of how they can be saved from their sins, how they can have the forgiveness of sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He says, you're to give light to them that sit in darkness. You know, the Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in darkness. Folks, the world today needs light. They need knowledge of salvation. They need light in the darkness. And we're the ones that are sent to give them that light. Not only to give them the light of the knowledge of salvation, but that it might bring peace, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The world wants peace. Listen, there's no peace in this world. There's no peace in the things of this world. The only peace that there is through Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He preached peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross. He is our peace. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57, the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up as mire. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. To the person without Jesus Christ this morning, there is no peace in your life until you come to Jesus Christ. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. If you would, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look what Paul says of his life in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it's the same in our life. This is our purpose in life, is to bring the light of the gospel to a lost world in darkness. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look what it says. Verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto knowledge of the truth. God says, I want all men to know of the truth. He says, I want all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth so that they might be saved. Look what it says in verse 5. For there is one God. Folks, there is only one God, and that's the God of the Bible. There are not many gods. There is one God, the true God, the living God, that sent his Son, Jesus Christ. And one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator. That's Christ Jesus. It's not me. It's not the Pope. It's not any person in religion. It's Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And look what it says in verse 7. Paul says, wherefore, I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And Paul says, this is my purpose. This is my purpose. This ought to be your purpose. This is the purpose of every child of God, is to realize that God has sent us into the world to give the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to give knowledge of that light, to give folks the gospel, that they might understand the gospel, that they might be saved. And so, number one, John had a purpose, a divine purpose, and that is our purpose. And may I say this, we need to be attached to our purpose. So easy to get distracted, isn't it? So easy to get distracted. Aren't you glad? Listen, I like to go to a little restaurant up in North. It's called Philly's. They make Philly cheesesteaks. It's a great place. And when I go there, I have one purpose. I'm focused on that one purpose. That one purpose is to get a Philly cheesesteak. Because there's a saying, when your belly is full, your heart is complete. But anyways, all right? But I go, and there's one purpose. And so I go in and I order my Philly cheesesteak. Now, as I'm waiting for my Philly cheesesteak, I get distracted a lot because they have all these TVs around with all the different sports going on, football or baseball or basketball or soccer. And so it's easy to get distracted. But I need to remember, listen, I could get distracted and get excited about a football game and all of a sudden walk out without my Philly cheesesteak. It's never happened. But the possibility is there. And you have to stay attached to your purpose. Now, I don't mind that there's TVs playing football games or basketball games in a restaurant called Philly's. But I tell you what, when I go down to the hospital for an operation and I am wheeled into that operating room, there's one thing I do not want to see on the wall. I do not want to see. I see the bright lights. I see all the equipment. I see how sterilized it is. There's one thing I don't want to see. I do not want to see a bank of TVs playing the Patriots or the Buccaneers or the Celtics or the Red Sox or the Yankees. I don't want to see any TVs on the wall. Because when that doctor is operating on my body, I do not want him to be distracted. I don't want him in the middle of opening me up or sewing me up or working on the middle or whatever. I don't want him to say, hey, look it. Wow, look at that play. No, I want him to remain attached to the purpose that is before him. And folks, it's easy to get distracted from the purpose that God has for our life. And that is to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. So number one, John had purpose. We have purpose. And be attached to the purpose of preaching the gospel. Number two, if you go back to John chapter 1, number two, John had power. In Luke chapter 1, it says he would be filled with the Spirit of God from his birth. And John had power, not his own power. He had power from above. He had power through the Spirit of God to the point where in John chapter 1, you want to see the evidence of his power. Look at verse number 19. And this is a record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" You know, the religious people, they came, "Hey, who are you? Who are you?" They said, "Are you Elias? Are you Christ? Are you that prophet?" And he said, "No, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" But they saw something different. They noticed something different. Stephen over there in Acts chapter 6, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says they could not resist his words. They could not resist his preaching, and it was because the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time that I was up in another town, and I went up to this porch on this street, and I had prayed and said, "Lord, who do you want me to speak to?" And there was this porch, and there was a group of people on the porch. And I went up to it, and I started talking to them about the Lord. And I started telling them, and I said, "I want to share with you about Jesus Christ. I want to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ." And this big guy in the middle, a guy that weighed probably 250, 300 pounds, he was right in the middle, and he stood up and walked inside the house. And pretty soon everybody stood up and walked inside the house, except for this one lady. And this one lady turned to me, and she says, "I've just seen the power of God." I'm thinking to myself, "What?" She says, "I've just seen the power of God." And I said, "Well, what do you mean you've seen the power of God?" She says, "That man is a drug dealer. And all those people around him, they follow him and do everything that he says. And he never moves for any. He's not afraid of anybody." She says, "But when you began to speak about Jesus Christ, you could see he got afraid. He got scared. He got up and went inside. He never does that for anybody." She says, "That's the power of God." Folks, that's the power of God when we go with the gospel. Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1 for a moment. In Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. What does the Bible say to us? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you." When you trusted in Jesus Christ your Savior, when you were born again by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came to live inside of you. It says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." Why? Not through our own power, not through our intellect, not through who we are, but through the Holy Spirit of God. You know, you stop and think about it. When the Holy Spirit works in your life as you go to preach the gospel, He will open doors for you to preach the gospel. There was one day years ago, it was a few years ago, that I was up at Backus Hospital. I had an appointment, or I guess I was visiting someone. And as I came back through the hospital, I noticed a man sitting on a bench over apart from everybody else. And the Lord just impressed upon my heart to go speak with this man. And I went over and I sat down next to me and I started to speak to him. And immediately he started to, tears started to come to his eyes. And he told me he had just gotten news that he had terminal cancer. And so I started talking with him, and eventually, it worked out that I gave him a ride home. And we sat in the car outside of his house, and I told him about Jesus Christ. And that man wonderfully got saved that day. He started coming to church, and eventually the Lord did take him home. But God opened that door up. God put me there that day, at that moment, that man, that there, that moment, because God cared for that man's soul. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of power, when it says, ye shall be witnesses, when ye shall receive power, number one, he opens doors. Number two, listen, the Holy Spirit can open your mouth and give you words to say. And when you trust the Spirit of God, he will give you the right thing to say. People say, what do I say? Listen, just pray and let the Holy Spirit give you the words to say. Let him lead your conversation and trust him in it. Don't doubt yourself. Well, doubt yourself, but trust him. But let the Holy Spirit work. He will give you the words to say, and he will also open hearts. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And there's nothing more wonderful than seeing the Holy Spirit work in someone's life as you tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ and see their heart open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so number two, we have power. John had power. Stephen had power. The apostles had power. The early church had power. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and they had power and boldness to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number two, the Bible says, we have the power of the Spirit of God. You know, I was thinking about this. You can take a balloon, and kids love to play with balloons. Adults like to play with balloons, but we just don't want to admit it. But you take a balloon, and that balloon is flat, and it's empty, and it just lays there. Just a piece of rubber or whatever it's made out of. And all of a sudden, you put that balloon to your mouth, and you start blowing it. You start filling it with air. And the more you fill it with air, the bigger it gets. And then you hold on to it. And what happens when you let go of that balloon? What happens? All of a sudden, that balloon just takes off, doesn't it? Why? Because of what you breathed into it. Because of the air that you breathed into it. And God has given us his Spirit so that when we allow the Spirit of God to work, there's no telling what God can do. There's no telling what doors God can open or what he can give you to say or direct your heart to someone and open the heart of someone that they might be saved. And so number one, we need to be attached to the gospel, attached to our purpose. Number two, we need to be assured of the power of God in our lives. We need to be assured. We need to remember that when we talk to someone, listen, I am here to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, because I am sent by God. There's no higher calling than that. Number two, because of the power of God that will give me the words to say and the boldness to speak to you of Jesus Christ. So number two, we need to be assured of the power. But number three in John chapter one, number three is this. He not only had purpose, and we have purpose. He not only had power, and we had power. We have power. But you know what? He had a proclamation. He had something to say. You know, you just listen to the world. I mean, don't listen to the world. But when you listen to the news or something else, and I try not to listen to the news, they don't have a lot to say, do they? They don't have a lot to say. Listen, we've got something to say, folks. We've got something to proclaim. We have the most important message to proclaim. Look what it says in verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. John had something to say when he stood there on the banks of the Jordan River and he looked at Jesus Christ. He said this, behold. That word behold means to get your attention. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That was his proclamation. Folks, that's our proclamation. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that can take away your sins. That's our problem. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what Paul says. Here's what we need to say. Verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. Paul says, I've got something to tell you. It's something that I received. Listen, I've got something to tell you. It's something I received. It's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says this, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's what we have to proclaim, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He loved me. He gave himself for me. He bore my sins upon the cross of Calvary. He bore your sins. He died for our sins according to Scripture. And then it says this, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says this, and he says it's a saying worthy of all acceptation. Verse 15 of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And Paul puts it very simply. He just puts it out there. Christ Jesus. There's the person. That's the person who we speak about. Not the church, not a religion. Christ Jesus. The one that God sent in this world. The Son of God, the Savior. Christ Jesus came into this world. Number one, the person. Number two, that he came. That he came into this world, this earth, this world. Why though? Look what it says. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's his purpose. There was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming in. That's the purpose of Jesus Christ today. To save sinners. We're all sinners. Bible says we've all sinned. But Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And may I remind you that the gospel, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I know it's the power of God. It's changed my life. I have watched as the power of God unto salvation, as salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ has changed the lives of people, one right after another. I've seen people saved that were young and people that were old. I've seen people saved that in the next few days they went home to be with the Lord. I've seen people saved that it's taken them from drugs and alcohol and made them clean and sober through the power of God. I've seen people that it's changed their lives. Why? Because the power of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so number one, we need to be attached to the purpose God has for us. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. Number two, we need to be assured of the power of God. Number three, we need to be active. We need to be active in proclaiming Jesus Christ. We can have a purpose. We can know that we have power. But it goes further than that. I can have that lawnmower sitting out in my garage. It can be filled with gas. And I can know the purpose of that lawnmower is to mow the grass, to cut the grass. I can know that engine has power, the blades have power, and when I start it up, it'll cut grass. But until that tractor moves, and until that engine is on, and until that tractor is actively moving over the grass with that blade turning, nothing happens, nothing changes. And see, we can have purpose. We can know that we have purpose. We can know that we have power. But we need to be active in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I say our life parallels the life of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he was a man. His name was John. But the difference was he was sent from God. We have a purpose. We've been sent by God. We've been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be attached to our purpose. Jesus Christ said, go. Go into all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to be assured of the power of God through the Spirit of God in our life. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we need to be active in proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the world was silent. I mean, as far as the gospel goes, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ, for 400 years, from the book of Malachi till John chapter 1, when it says there was a man sent from God, it was silent. And then all of a sudden, one man stepped up, stepped out of the wilderness, stepped out of the desert, and all of a sudden said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, the world today is not silent. The world today is loud and noisy, clamoring for attention, trying to get their... I mean, it's just... But listen, here's what the world needs. And here's our responsibility. The world is loud, it's confused, it's angry. And we need to stand out from the world. We need to stand out from the world. Clearly stand out. Clarity. I mean, John stood out. All of a sudden, this guy steps out from the desert. And I mean, he looked unique, didn't he? I mean, he's wearing a sheepskin. He's eating honey and locust. And he stood out in his appearance. We need to stand out in our lives. People need to see that there's a difference in our life because of Jesus Christ. And the difference they need to see is a pure life. The difference they need to see is a joyful life. The difference they need to see is a loving life. The difference they need to see is a peaceful life, a confident life, a life of hope through Jesus Christ. We need to stand out clearly from the world. But we also need to step up to the podium, if you will. We need to step up to the plate. We need to step up to the place where we can speak. We need to step up so that the world can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to speak. We need to speak of Jesus Christ. We need to stand out with clarity. We need to step up with confidence. And we need to speak up with conviction of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And our life does parallel the life of John the Baptist. And so this morning, my prayer is this, that we would understand and be attached to the purpose that God has for us. That we would be assured of the power of the Spirit of God in our life. And that we would be active in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, thank you for the life and the testimony of John the Baptist. Just thank you, Lord, for the way our lives parallel, that we have a uniqueness of a spiritual birth through faith in Jesus Christ. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. Thank you for your purpose in our life to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of the Spirit of God that lives within us, that enables us and gives us boldness to proclaim Christ. Lord, thank you that we can be active in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.